Just for a few minutes here this morning, I want to talk about the long reach of the gospel, John chapter 4, the long reach of the gospel. For those of you that have studied the Bible, maybe you've taken some courses, Bible courses, if you've ever taken an evangelism course or a personal evangelism course, then you no doubt spent some time in John chapter 4 because it is the evangelism chapter. Especially the personal evangelism chapter. The story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well and all that he does to speak to her and to see her come to living water and to receive that and to partake of that. It's a wonderful chapter, and I'm going to read a few verses here in John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 3. He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'll stop reading right there. Although the whole chapter is a wonderful chapter, it gives a lot of practical lessons on personal evangelism. Now, I think the first notable thing, though, about this chapter is the fact that Jesus is traveling the way he did to Samaria. I'm sure I'm not saying anything you don't know, but there was a must in his heart. There was this compelling urgency that was in his heart that said, I must go through Samaria. This was not the normal pathway or roadway that a Jew would take. I read that there were probably four or so other preferred roads that they would take to go that direction to avoid going through Samaria because they were so prejudiced and so hated the Samaritans that they didn't want to have anything to do with them or even be around them. And so there were other roads that they normally took, but Jesus went through Samaria, and he went on purpose through Samaria because he knew he was going to meet this woman. And he knew her need, and he knew, and he cared about her, and he wanted her to know him. I'm sure you've probably heard of the terminology, the long arm of the law. I was wondering where that phrase came from. An English writer from the early 1800s first coined that terminology, the long arm of the law, and it just simply means that if you're a guilty criminal, that the law is going to eventually find you. It's going to reach you. You probably have read articles of criminals who've run to South America or to other countries and read articles about them being found and brought back to the States and the long arm of the law. Well, I'm talking about the long reach of the gospel and how that God will go to any extreme, that God will work in any way possible to bring people to Jesus. We think of people in the circumstances of their life, but I believe that the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God will go to no limit. He will go to all expense. No matter what the level of sacrifice is necessary. God so loved the world, and that's hard for us to even understand or comprehend it, but Jesus loves the world and the people of the world and will do whatever. He must needs. There was this compelling urgency. I have to go to Samaria. I have to go there. And God has really, the whole plan of God and everything that you read, if you're a Bible reader, you'll read through the Bible and you'll see case after case after case that reveals the love of God toward mankind in some way. I don't know how we were so blessed. I don't know how we were so blessed to have the benefit of the love of God, but we do. We do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And even the children can quote that verse, but I don't know if the children or even us adults can really comprehend that verse. And the greatness of his love toward men and to what extreme he'll go to get to them, just as he did to this woman waiting at the well. The Bible says in Philippians 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The whole mission of the life of Jesus was a mission to bring hope to the world. And we all are very familiar with the gospel story, I think that we need a reminder that God has gone so far and now he's called you and me to carry on that same mission, to carry on that same reach, to have that same similar love. You see, Jesus was born in humility, and he was born in, the familiar Christmas story of the obscurity and the poverty and all that he was born into. And he came from heaven and all the glories of heaven, and he came into this earth and became a little baby, the weakest form of humanity. And all that he did it that men might be saved. Even Jesus, when he was 12 years old, and I don't know if earlier than that, he understood in his growing up years what his purpose on earth was. I don't know when he became aware. I know when he was a little baby, he wasn't aware, but I don't know what level of maturity and understanding that he came to before he began to understand who he was and what his purpose was. But we know by age 12, he completely had the concept and understood. He was in the temple. He was conversing in the temple with the doctors and the scribes and the lawyers there. And when his parents came back to find him, don't you know I must be about my father's business? He already knew that he was doing the business of his heavenly father. He knew why he was here, and that was to reach the world, to reach the lost, to bring hope to the lost. And that's what the good news is. It is the gospel. It's the best news. It is the good news that the world needs to hear everywhere. They need to hear about Jesus, and the long reach of the gospel is still having an impact around the world and in the lives of people. Now, don't limit God to only to a few, because God even delights in working in hard cases. In some of the most resistant people to the gospel, God works in their lives. He's reaching into the hearts of some that you have prayed for, that there's no sign or evidence at all that they are responding to the gospel, but because you have prayed for them and maybe ministered to them or reach out to them in some way to plant the seeds of the gospel in their life, God is working already on their heart. They may seem harsh and hard and resistant, but God can reach into the most hard and resistant hearts. It may seem a long shot, some who are so hard and resistant to the Lord, but don't ever limit what God can do. We have a wonderful example of that in the life of Saul, who became Paul, that hardened, resistant Saul was a child of the best upbringing, a student of Gamaliel, a Roman citizen trained in the best Jewish schools, and a zealot for Judaism. And he was doing all kinds of damage to the name of Jesus and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was threatening them, but not only threatening them, the New Testament bears out that he murdered, he imprisoned women and men, that he was destroying the church, and he could be compared to a terrorist today. That's how he was toward the church. He hated the church, he wanted to destroy the church, and he was doing everything in his power to do that. He would have seemed like the most unlikely person, first of all, just to get saved, but to become who he was. And the only way that it could have ever have happened was there had to be some supernatural encounter that changed him from running as hard as he was hard working against the church and against the message of Jesus. And in one day's time, he's reversed and he's working just as strong or even stronger from that point to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And something happened, and he had the encounter with Jesus on that Damascus road. It changed him so dramatically that his life was turned around. Now, that's the kind of reach of the gospel that can reach into the most heart. So don't back away from talking to people or witnessing to people or praying for people that seem to be the hardest cases, the most resistant to the gospel. He was a murderer. He was an abuser of the church. He hated the church. And he was really like a madman. The scripture says in Acts 26 and verse 11, when he was confessing or giving his testimony before Agrippa, he said, I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And the word strange there means small, far away places. It just means he hunted them down. If they were in small villages and far away places, he searched them out and he hunted them down. He hated them. And he said, I was like a madman that was chasing after them. He was filled with hate and filled with this zeal to do what he thought he was doing for God. But God turned that man around and made him the chief apostle. Glory to God. Turned him around and transformed his life. Now, I know we're dealing with a lot of things now in the world that we live in. And there's a lot of reasons why we could say, well, how could we ever break through the barrier of Islam? How could we ever break through the barriers of Hinduism or some of these other religions that have millions and even billions of people blinded all around the world, or even here in America? The gods of materialism and secularism that is blinding the minds of people here in our country today, that seems to be controlling their life and the goals of their lives. And America now, sad to say, is not the America of 50 years ago. Change has come about. It's not changes for the good. It's changes moving away from God. And it seems like a long stretch. It seems like a far stretch that God could reach in to the places of higher education, that God could reach into the places of government and into business and into many places in our nation. But God's reach cannot be limited, because he can touch the lives of people no matter how blind or how imprisoned they are in their secular thinking. God can reach to where they are. Amen. And he will. You know that sowing the seeds of the gospel is what we are called to do. Just as Jesus was sent into this world, so are you and I sent. Jesus said that to his disciples. He said, just like my Father has sent me into the world, so am I sending you into the world. And then he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, and sent them, charged them to go forth and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those disciples, those timid, disciples who were in a hiding place for fear of their own lives were so affected by this encounter with Jesus and by the outpouring of Pentecost on the day of Pentecost. The change was so dramatic in their life that the entire known world at that time was affected by their ministry. I do believe that God, in these last days, He's called you and I to reach the long, long reach, to touch people, to impact people, to influence them, and to realize the power of the seed of the gospel, to realize that whenever you give to them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is not wasted words, but it has power. Just as the seed contains power and life, that same seed of the gospel, once sown, once given to the hearts of men, can change their life, just as it did Saul, making him Paul, just as it has many others. This long reach of the gospel has caused people to do things that are, I guess what we would say, extreme. And God even uses tragedy and sacrifices that are beyond our imagination to bring the gospel to people. I know the most powerful thing that happened 50, 60 years ago that affected the lives of so many people was when Jim Elliot and the other missionaries were killed there in Ecuador, murdered, martyred in Ecuador. They laid down their lives. I didn't know this until recently, but Jim Elliot had a gun in his pocket. And two women come out of the bush. And then they heard behind them the tribal men coming with their spears from behind them. And those men had made a pact that even though they were carrying guns, they would not take the lives of those unsaved to save themselves. They didn't use the guns. They were speared to death in the river there, died, and it looked like to the entire world, what a waste. These young men who died in such an unbelievably sad way. But the world picked that up and the news media picked it up. And it went all over the world. It really was the beginning of a whole new missionary movement. It really ignited the fires of revival in American churches and other nations of the world. Missionary young people saw what happened. And instead of it causing them to turn their back on the work of the Lord, hundreds and even thousands of young people committed their lives to missionary work. And so God even used the sacrifice and the martyrdom of those missionaries to ignite a flame of fire that caused the gospel to be expanded even further than it would ever have been expanded. God takes even tragedy and the ultimate sacrifice because His gospel is going to get out there. It's going to reach far, farther than you could ever imagine to touch the lives of people. That's what the love of God does. That's the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go further and further than you could ever imagine. There's a song written, and I'm not sure if it was the Gaithers who wrote this song, but here's some of the words of this song. It says, His love went on longing. His love went on reaching right past the shackles of my mind. Then the word of the Father became Mary's little son. And His love reached all to where I was, all the way to where I was. And so this great Creator who had been reaching all along, this God who formed the world with His own hands, made love become a baby, one of our very own, and spoke His word so we could understand. His love went on longing. His love went on reaching right past the shackles of my mind. Then the word of the Father became Mary's little son, and His love reached all the way to where I was. Praise God. That's the reach, the reaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the long reach. Now you may say, well, my life is not that significant. My life is not that important. But do you understand with me this morning that God can take your life and the impact of your life and touch people around the world in ways that you can't even imagine? I know I wear you out with this, but I'm just going to go back and just talk about the long reach in my own personal life. The long reach of the gospel. 70 years ago, a long time ago, 70 years ago, a little Sunday school teacher went down the street from her church, about four blocks, to 111 Franklin Street in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. My mom lived in that house with her other family. She has, there's six children all together. She's next to the youngest. And in her family, this little Sunday school teacher knocked on her door. She'd never gone to church. She never knew much about God. But she invited her to church. The two people out of all that family that went to church was my mother and her younger sister. And it's ironic that now they go to church together and sit together now, after all these many years. But they went to church together up the road to First Assembly of God. She heard the gospel stories, and the seeds of the truth of the gospel were planted in her heart as a little child. She went over a period of a couple of years, not all the time, but a lot of the time. She went to Sunday school, was there in that church. She heard the gospel. She's told me many times that she would come home, she would lay in her bed at night and remember the story, and sometimes she would cry in the bed because she knew that she wasn't right with the Lord, knew she wasn't saved. She's just a child. When she was a teenager, the Lord began to deal with her again, and some of her friends were going to a little Baptist church. She went to that church when she was about 16 years old, and that's where she met my dad. My dad was invited by one of his friends, and they met at that little Baptist church. And they got married. My mom was only 16 when she got married. I was born when she was 18. And right after that, she got saved. Really born again in that little Baptist church. She got saved, changed her life. What's so amazing is it didn't just change her life. A lot of people have been affected by that. And the long reach of the gospel and the long reach of the testimony of that little Sunday school teacher is so amazing to me, because God has worked in our lives. God has worked in our family. His grace has helped us down through the years. What really brought this to my thinking was Friday morning, I received a message from Brother Bakri over there in Sierra Leone, which is not an unusual thing, because I get text messages from him almost every day, every other day anyway. But this one was unique because it was a little recorded message to me that he sent. And I want to play it for you. He sent me a little message, and when I heard that, I thought, the gospel is going out to that place, Sierra Leone, West Africa, with 2.5 million people. 70% of them are Muslim. And here's the message. I hope you can hear it. I'll put it up by my mic.
Good evening, Pastor Jarvis. This is Brother Bakri. Behind the background, you will hear the music from the radio station. Well, we hope you get us loud and clear. This is Elim Broadcasting Network, 104.1 FM. Yes, we are doing well. God bless you, Brother Jarvis. We're praying for you.
That was it. When I heard that, I thought, Lord, you let me have a little part in that. I certainly don't take all the credit. A lot of people gave. A lot of people were involved. I just had a little part in that. Then I got to thinking, wow, the gospel is going out to that city by way of that radio station. And that little lady, 70 years ago, is going to reap some of that reward. Isn't that interesting? The power of the gospel, the seed of the gospel, and how far-reaching it can be, far further than you could ever imagine what God can do and how he can work if we put ourselves in the hands of the Lord. We've got Easter coming up. I know we always try to put on a push. Talk to people about the Lord. Talk to people about Jesus. Talk to people about the gospel. Invite them to come. And with the help and grace of God, the service is going to be totally focused on the gospel, totally focused upon Jesus, totally focused upon the power of the resurrection, his power to change people's lives. And then from that point, let's pray, let's trust the Lord, let's ask God to anoint that day, and then let's put it in his hands. Because the Lord knows how to take the seed and make it bear fruit, and even much further than we could ever imagine. The power of the gospel is reaching out to a world that's really in need. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you allow us to be a part of it. Thank you, Lord, for the day that the gospel was preached to our lives. We heard it, we believed it, and we put our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for new life that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful. Lord, give us a vision to see that our small efforts in obedience to your command to take the gospel, and when we just step out and obey your voice, you can do things so much greater than we could ever imagine. So Lord, use us as a people, as a church, to touch the lives of those around us that are not saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.